This is Press Play. I'm Madeline Brand. California has become a leader in offering college degrees to incarcerated people. For decades, people could earn their associate degrees behind bars. But now there's a new slate of bachelor's degree programs starting this fall. Research suggests that getting a BA behind bars really reduces recidivism rates. Joining me now is Ashley Smith, higher education reporter for EdSource, where she's been reporting on this. Hello.
Hi, Madeline.
All right. So I understand that Cal State LA was the first to offer a bachelor's degree to prisoners, and that was in 2016. Why did they make that decision?
I think that they had seen so much success from students, incarcerated students, taking community college classes. I mean, for a while now, we have incarcerated people earning multiple community college degrees, associate degrees, I mean, 2, 3, 4 degrees under their belts. And so the next step naturally is a bachelor's degree. And so it really was the prison system, the state's prison system, CDCR, that took the lead in starting to recruit universities to really expand into this space.
Right. And so what, I guess I'm wondering what's in it for the universities to offer this?
Well, it's just another way for them to essentially improve the community and mm-hmm. provide a community good. Essentially, you mentioned the recidivism rates. We know that the research shows that recidivism rates basically drop nearly to zero when incarcerated people earn college degrees. And with the movement to expand the Pell Grant to incarcerated people, more and more universities saw this as an opportunity to improve the education of people who are eventually or who will eventually be released back into society.
And do the prisoners pay for the tuition, or is it the taxpayers, or how does that work?
So prior to the 1994 crime bill, the Pell Grant was available to incarcerated students. And mm-hmm. so it wasn't until 2015 when the Obama administration started the Second Chance Pell Grant program that and that was only available to select colleges, that students up until that point had to pay out of pocket themselves. They still have to pay out of pocket, but now they have the ability to use the Pell Grant, which is available to any low income person. Their textbooks, their materials, anything that is associated with the college course, they have to pay for themselves. But they now have access to the Pell Grant, which will allow them to cover their tuition and fees.
And they have to apply like anyone else?
Yes. Yes, they have to fill out the applications. They have to submit essays and recommendations. I've spoke with one program. This was actually before the University of California, Irvine had fully started down in Richard Donovan Prison. Southwestern College was the community college that partnered with UCI, and they worked with those students to fill out paper applications. You know, these days, students typically are used to filling out an application online. In prison, they had to fill out paper applications. They had to write essays. They had to submit recommendations the same way any other student would.
And I guess they take their classes via Zoom or something like that, or do instructors actually come into the prisons?
Well, that's really the interesting thing about these programs is that they are in person. So it hasn't been easy, particularly during the coronavirus pandemic. So some things did move to Zoom. Some things were handled via written correspondence. But for the most part, a lot of these classes are in person. So there's professors that are going into these prison facilities, going into classrooms and interacting directly with incarcerated students.
And you profiled a man named Dara Yin, and he was sentenced to life without the possibility of parole for murder. And 14 years to life for 2 counts of attempted murder. He was involved in a drive-by. So he earned a degree, a BA, despite being a 9th grade dropout. Tell us more about him.
Dara had a bit of a rough childhood, which, I mean, to be honest, many people in prison have come from pretty bad, rough childhoods and backgrounds. His mother immigrated to the U.S. following the genocide in Cambodia with his siblings. And as you mentioned, he dropped out of high school. He joined a gang. And at 18 years old, he was involved in this drive-by shooting and sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. And at some point, Dara said that he wanted to do something positive that his mother would be proud of. So he went after his GED. He earned multiple community college degrees. And then eventually he was a part of that first group of Cal State LA incarcerated students to earn a communications degree. So I got to meet Dara and his family in 2021 at the graduation. This was the first graduation that they ever held. It was on the prison yard. His family was absolutely ecstatic for him. However, his mother had died a few years earlier. So it was just a very emotional experience for all of them because, you know, he had told me that he did this for her and she wasn't there for him, but his sisters were, you know, were there for him, and they invoked the spirit of his mother the entire time. And he was actually one of the first people that gave me a reason for why these programs are offered to people that are sentenced to life without parole. He said that essentially the prison environment and its culture shapes the type of person that is going to be released. And if 95% of incarcerated people are eventually going to be released, then those who are not going to be released also have an impact on the culture and the environment that they are within. And so you really shouldn't differentiate between the two. They all work in tandem. And so by having people like him, who at the time had no possibility of ever being paroled, working with people who may have 10, 20, 5-year sentences, it creates a better prison environment.
Mm-hmm. And Governor Gavin Newsom commuted his sentence last year. So is he free now? And what is he doing?
Yes, he is free now. And he is back with his family. He received multiple recommendations from the prison staff. And Governor Newsom mentioned in his letter, in his clemency letter, that his educational degrees was just one of many reasons that Dara's sentence was commuted. So, you know, it's also important to know that a clemency does not diminish the harm or the crime or the victims that incarcerated people have created or have done. Mm-hmm. But the clemency itself just recognizes that the work he put into becoming a transformed person, to becoming a better person, that he did, that he put in that work and he did become a better person.
And he spent nearly 20 years in prison. So yes. How is his degree helping him now? What is he doing?
He is doing well, and that he's back with his family and he is working.
Okay, great. So he is a success story, definitely. Where does California rank amongst other states in terms of providing these higher education degrees to incarcerated people?
Yeah, so I think California is a bit of a leader in this space. I mean, there isn't any type of mandatory nationwide tracking on this issue, but And certainly I have to take into account the size of California, but there are estimates that there are about 12 to 13% of California's incarcerated population enrolled in a college class. And that would include the community colleges as well. And I would just add that California is also making moves to expand master's degrees. So that is just a space that is rarely talked about, but it is happening in California.
Well, Ashley, thank you very much.
Thanks, Madeline.
That's Ashley Smith. She covers higher education for EdSource. Coming up, remembering the time when the teen soap opera The OC went down to Tijuana, and what that meant to a young fan who lived there. That's next on Press Play.